When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, KD is not happy with the Suns' offense.
Shocker.
And the Sun came up today. Billie Eilish is going to be performing at the CHI Health Center. They announce concerts and put tickets on sale so far in advance. This concert isn't until the 17th of November.
Yep. We'll be getting into the
bowl
final 2 weeks of college football then.
Will Nebraska have qualified for a bowl by then?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hot take.
All right.
By that point, you'll be speculating as to where are we going.
It is her Hit Me Hard and Soft, the tour.
Oh.
I'd go see her in concert.
I wonder if she'll have any characters or cast members from The Office. She's a huge Office fan. Anytime she runs into any casting members of The Office, she always has to take selfies with. And she's,
oh, really?
Yeah, she's a diehard Office fan. Learned that through the social media networks.
That adds to it. I like Billie Eilish. I might go see that show. I wonder what I'm doing on the 17th.
Yeah, what are you doing on the 17th?
Oh, I bet she puts on a banger of a show.
I could see that.
That's a Sunday.
Help me here.
Oh, it is Sunday, okay.
Help me here, Billy Jr. So we had a little college baseball over the weekend despite the rain. Some were impacted, some were not. Let's give a shout out to Omaha. So Evan Porter, now in his eighth year, been a rough year. They got up to an 0-9 start. They got a bunch of injuries. They lost Mike Bovee.
Yep.
So they're adjusting.
Mm-hmm.
And the Summit League isn't what it was last year. Oral Roberts is not running away with it. As a matter of fact, if the Summit League tournament was today, Oral Roberts is hosting, they would not be in the tournament. But Omaha has won 5 straight series. They have found a way. They are a scrappy bunch.
Yep.
And they're not, they don't have Scooby-Doo. They're just scrappy. Okay? It's tough to just have Scrappy because Scrappy's got to have Scooby-Doo.
That's true.
And then he's got to have the mystery machine behind him.
With all the smoke coming out of him.
Omaha at times just has Scrappy. But they're only a half game out of first place, and St. Thomas, which is not eligible for the tournament.
Yep.
So Omaha's a half game back, and they are a game and a half up between second and third. They go to Oral Roberts this weekend. So good on Evan Porter, man. They have persevered. I don't care what the Summit League is this year. They have kept it going. They have one more series left, and that's St. Thomas next weekend. But let's talk about Creighton. We'll talk about Nebraska as well. You got to help me. I'm sitting next to you on Saturday, and you got the live stats up, and Georgetown beats Creighton 10-2, and I'm like, what is going on? Is there a more confusing team in college baseball than Creighton?
No. I don't even know if it's close. And I feel confident for a team that is 10-0 in midweeks and owns now 4 significant victories.
Yes.
Over teams that are top 25 RPI between 2 Nebraska, 2 Coastal Carolina.
Who, by the way, did not win at all this week.
Yeah, they broke them. But they still...
They probably did.
Still in the top 30 of the RPI. And you watch... It's hard not to watch what's also going on in Lincoln, where they can't win a midweek game, but they win the weekend games and not have a hint of envy, even though you've taken 2 games. You've taken the series and a chance to sweep tomorrow because it's now that part of the season where it comes down to, okay, cool what you did on the weekdays, but you got to take care of business on the weekend. To get housed the way that they did against Georgetown, to me, it just adds to that complexity of who this team is. And you and I have talked about it. You've seen them in person many times, too.
I've said they're a good team.
They are a good team. And I still say that.
Mental?
Absolutely, I think it
mental
is.
Mental on the weekends when you don't have an ace?
Yes.
Cancellari is injured.
The Cancellari injury is something that I think we will point back to and wonder what could have been with this team. Because what you've been able to establish in the midweek and piecing it all together and get, I don't want to throw Malachi Vitock under the bus because he's had to answer that call. He's been more of a midweek presence than he was on the weekends. And yet now you're thrown into, hey, you might start against Nebraska. We're going to use you out of the bullpen too. You got to be our Friday night tone setter. And he's not there yet. Cancellari was a legitimate Friday night guy, And then you hope you can fill things in. Eli Nissen gave you a good effort, but Eli Nissen's another guy that you wanted to use more in the weekdays and in the bullpen, yet he's got to get be asked to throw in the equalizer. And give him credit, it was a bad second game for their offense to go to sleep. Offensively, I'm still confident, even though they couldn't get enough offense in that second game. But if you look at, you're down, what is it, 7-0 before you can even blink an eye on Saturday morning. And so that Friday, or in this case, Saturday morning, that game one that Creighton is just yet to establish here as of late to really set that weekend off course, it's amazing with the things they have overcome in games against Nebraska and games against Coastal Carolina, good teams, that it's the weekend adversity that they can't overcome.
But here's the reality. And in 2018, they went 3-0 against Nebraska and also missed the conference tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You are in danger. I still think they're a good team, but you're in danger because your RPI is now 54.
Yep.
But first and foremost, you're a game and a half behind Xavier, who has the tiebreaker over you for that fourth spot. And you've got six on the road against two teams that are in the top four, one at the top of the league in UConn, St. John's. You get Seton Hall at the end, but that may not matter. Ah, man, you could be staring at three of the last 6 years not making your conference tournament back-to-back years. That will not go over well. I don't care if you're 11-0 in the midweek. That will not go over well, and that's not acceptable. I can't figure them out at all.
I can't either, and I feel like I get a chance to see them almost every week, and I walk away. And here's the funny thing. I haven't seen them on a weekend since their first regular season homestand. I've only seen them on the weekday, so I've seen the best version of Creighton over the last 2 months now. And then when I watch and follow what happens on the weekend, I'm perplexed, because even with very shaky weekend rotation and starting pitching, I feel like their offense should be able to overcome some of those obstacles. And it's amazing.
Five runs this weekend against Georgetown?
Yeah. It's amazing how that carries over into the dugout, into the batter's box on the weekends, but it doesn't seem to have that impact on the weekdays against legitimate competition.
So it has to be mental. Right?
I agree. Yeah. I totally agree with that.
Mental on the weekend. Maybe the wrong button is being pushed, because they'll play tomorrow night and they'll look different than they looked on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, and we've come to expect that. And the other part about where they are in the Big East, you now have lost the ability to control your own destiny. To just get to the tournament. We've talked about everything you've done on the weekday can be such a boost for you as long as you make the tournament. And now it's I think it's more likely than not that they don't make the Big East tournament right now, given the schedule they have in front of them.
So Nebraska, which took care of business in the first two because you were going to have to face Brody Breck. Mm-hmm. And if you had doubts about Brody Breck, he's showing off that he's going to be drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
So he was pumping 100 yesterday against Nebraska in that third game. So Iowa bust. They wanted to play, so they were going to hang around as long as possible.
They said they'd play as late as 9 o'clock.
Yeah, Georgetown had to get out of town. They had to get a plane. Yep. But their curfew was a little bit not was manageable, but the rain yesterday and all the delays and stuff. But so Nebraska they got the first two games, and they won a game where Sears wasn't very good on Friday night, which is encouraging.
Yep.
You don't want that to happen again, but you at least were able to pick it up, because that would have been a bad loss when you're down 4-1.
Right.
So they won on Friday. They walked it off yesterday, bases loaded walk in the bottom of the seventh, 10-run rule, which I love. I think it should be not just getaway days. It should be all the time in college baseball. And so they did work to win the series because Breck was shoving it last night. And he's really, really good. And Nebraska was not very good at the plate. But they won a series, most importantly. Their RPI, with only a couple of more weekends to go, is 25. Mm-hmm. They're in a three-way tie for third behind Purdue and Illinois, who are 11-4. Nebraska doesn't play them.
Yep.
Nebraska's 10-5. This is a big week for Nebraska in terms of saying we are legit number two seed in the field of 64.
Mm-hmm.
They play here tomorrow against Creighton, and then they get Kansas State at home, who's 31. I'm not in the committee room. I don't know how they differentiate between weekend and midweek for teams in this part of the country. But if I'm Nebraska and my midweek has not been very good, this is the week, 1 month out from the tournament being announced, that I remind people that we're not just a good weekend team. We are a good team across the board, because you have two great opportunities. On the road against Creighton, which has beaten you twice, and then Kansas State, which is a really, really good team out of the Big 12 that is a fellow NCAA team.
Yeah,
Big week for Nebraska.
Absolutely.
And then what, Minnesota up in Minneapolis.
Minnesota up in Minneapolis. Then you wrap up the regular season. Indiana, which is right there with Nebraska, as you pointed out, in the Big Ten standings there. Yeah, they're also tied from a record standpoint. And then you close out against Michigan State. So you get Indiana at home, which is a good thing. We've talked about this many times about how good Nebraska is and how reliable they are at home. So you like the way that the Big Ten schedule sets up from here on out. You have those opportunities now with K-State. Even Creighton, not quite anymore. Well, they're not anymore. A top 50 RPI team. That game's got to mean a lot to them. That's where, much like we're talking about Creighton, where does the midweek momentum carry into the weekend, where what Nebraska's been able to do on a weekend has to do something on those weekday games. This is a very important, because I don't worry about Nebraska as much on the weekends, especially with the schedule that they have in front of them. You're right. If you're going to solidify what they have been projected, and they've really been, even with some of those midweek stumbles, they've been locked in as a number two.
Yeah.
If you get a victory, you could, and this is,
they actually dropped in the RPI this week,
they
by
did.
The way.
Yeah, by winning.
By going 2-2.
Yeah, I think they dropped, what, three spots? And so you've got an opportunity. I would say you split. If you split and you beat K-State and you lose to Creighton, basically the Creighton loss wouldn't affect you that much. If you were to beat Creighton, lose to K-State, again, it doesn't impact you all that much. But if they were to go 2-0 midweek, well, that'd be huge for them. That, in my opinion, could bump them right back to a 20 spot. You're starting to, depending on what you do over the weekend, because they're not going to get any bump against Minnesota. In fact, it'd be very similar to Iowa, unless you sweep, that you're probably actually going to lose maybe some ground. So without question, for people who like to overlook the midweek and say it's all about conference, baby, keep me in the running for the conference title. Hey, I hear you, but you got a shot to not have to rely on that. This is the week. This is the only week left.
All right. Month from basically today will be the Field of 64 will be announced. They call it the Road to Omaha, which happens to be where we live. How many NCAA teams from the state of Nebraska, 1 month from today, will be announced?
One.
I'm with you. They will be a number two seed going to Stillwater.
Oh, why not Norman?
Because Oklahoma got swept by Texas.
Oh, okay. We're taking them out of that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, they'll be, gosh, can they move that to Oklahoma City again? That would be a good spot. But yeah, I feel good about them with the schedule they have. Even if the midweek struggles continue, that Indiana weekend is big. And not terrible from an RPI standpoint that they'll put themselves in a position with two out of their three conference series, very winnable series, albeit the biggest challenge is actually at home. So that part of it sets up very well for Nebraska, to where I'd see them as a 2 or 3 seed in the Big Ten tournament.
And by the way, ORU is starting to play well. Oh. They got some room to pick up. They swept South Dakota State over the weekend.
Isn't that crazy? I think Nebraska's 12 games left on the schedule. I mean, we are in the final stretch of this thing for the regular season.
Hey. You want countdowns, you're saying, man, doesn't it seem wild? Hold on here. Buy me a little time.
I got you.
I got to look something up here.
Okay.
Sing or something.
Now, Creighton.
Tell a joke. Happy birthday, Jerry Seinfeld. 123 days to Nebraska and UTEP. Thank you, Husker.
Okay,
Madison.
Appreciate that. Yeah, because Creighton is also 12 games. They've got midweeks against Nebraska and then Omaha. But at St. John's this weekend, at UConn the following weekend, then you come home to wrap up regular season play against a Seton Hall team that, I don't know if you realize, just gave up 31 runs midweek last week, 31-0. So
I mean, they
feel like that's a winnable series.
Happens to the best of them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there was Chicago State. It's still no match to Chicago State. But, yeah, winnable series there against Seton Hall.
Hey, at least Creighton this weekend had Paul Skeens and Livy Dunn sitting in the stadium.
How about that? Wanted to go back to where memories were made. For both.
So I'm guessing that she was not staying at the team hotel out there, the Embassy Suites in La Vista.
Must not have.
She was maybe staying downtown.
Might have had a dinner downtown. Said, "Hey, yeah, let's go catch a ball game." This is where we hoisted a national championship trophy, boy, and where people were following you all over.
So the last three games of the Storm Chasers series got rained out. Can you imagine if Skeens was scheduled to pitch one of those?
Oh yeah,
that's what I thought when I saw it.
So he must have been bored. Like, hey, let's go to a college baseball game.
Do you know how?
What do you think his reaction was with what was going on compared to the last time he was in that ballpark?
Like, do we need to be wearing a mask? That's probably what he thought. Do I need to show you my vaccination card right now? Because is this a COVID crowd?
Yeah, they got the full experience.
Well, I was more of the atmosphere a little bit different.
Well, and
you go the COVID card.
Well, isn't that what the crowd was? The crowd was like?
No, when you say COVID, you don't say, well, you say F COVID.
Well, I feel like that goes without saying.
No, I mean, don't bring that up. No.
Okay. It was that type of crowd where you thought this was a friends and family only. I was probably great for Libby Dunn because she was probably, that was probably the one venue that she was able to get in and out of with really not being detected until they caught them up in the, I don't know if they were in a suite.
Yeah, probably there was a little bit going on this weekend, so she could probably fly under the radar a little bit.
She could help clean up and they wouldn't notice it was her. Yeah.
Well, with the rain too, that dampened a lot of people that were going to attend little Georgetown Creighton, which was unfortunate because they did military appreciation. It's a huge weekend for them too, so the weather didn't help that situation.
Nick sent a picture into the Equitable Bank inbox where they take banking personally, professionally, and all the time, and they're there for you, located out in the area that was impacted, is Zach Bryan. So Zach Bryan is in town, one of the most popular artists going, puts on a great show. So he's in town tonight and tomorrow night. He was over in Des Moines on Friday. Mm-hmm. I think he was in Des Moines on Friday because he said, we need to keep you here, so we're going to play longer because the tornadoes that came through this area then were into central Iowa. So he's here putting out a two-night run at the Chai. He went out unsolicited, and the only way you knew he was out there is because people recognized him. They started taking pictures and posting him. Nick sent a picture and he said, yeah, cool guy. He was cleaning up my uncle's. He was part of a crew that was cleaning up the area between my uncle's house and neighbors. Stopped to take a picture. Was really cool dude.
That's
but
awesome.
He was legit. He was working and picking up debris and throwing it into a dumpster. Cool dude. Sent a picture. Yeah. All right. Maybe he gave tickets to people to come see his show.
Maybe. Yeah, that's right. Because it is tonight, tomorrow.
He is huge.
Two nights.
Like, people love Zach Bryan. I don't necessarily know a lot of his music, even though I kind of listen to that type of music. But people, like, everywhere he goes, his shows are packed. Like, people have a good time. So that was cool. That was cool. Him and his crew were in town on an off day, and they said, let's go and do what we need to do. So thanks for sharing that picture, Nick.
Yeah.
Jacob Bigelow, Amy Just coming up in the next hour. Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.